What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 87 of Value Town. I'm Chanman V, and joined here today by Noxious. How's it going, man?
Pretty good, as usual. Just another week of World of Warcraft at this stage.
World of Warcraft, or World of World of Warcraft. Our Heroes of World of Warcraft is actually how we should put it.
The Hearthstone MMO, right?
Yeah, exactly. Also joining us today, Raynad. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, man. I'm good.
All right, good stuff.
I was going to try to squeeze a stream in today, but then I realized I got stuff to do tonight. I don't think I can. Feel bad. Hamel.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Miss some of those cool decks you've been playing, but we'll talk about at least some of those decks here today on the show. And then Firebat, fresh off of Batstone, and a nice visit to the dentist. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Still a little numb from the dentist, but I'll try and power through it. Try not to sound too goofy with half my tongue asleep. But
yeah, just don't bite it off, man. That's all good. Last thing we need is you like bleeding to death on air here. All right, well,
that'd make for a change, though. I don't know, man.
A nice change.
Change of pace.
Keep it fresh around here, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, man. All right, well, lots to talk about today. A patch came out, so we'll talk about the things in the patch, which are like the welcome bundle and or some of the arena changes. Of course, Batstone with Firebat here, we'll get a recap or just an analysis of how the tournament went and why it was so successful, since the community seemed to respond very well to it. Then we'll do our week in Hearthstone, where we talk about the decks that we've been playing and maybe some other cool things that we've been seeing, including Tavern Brawl. I figured it's one of those fun pick three cards, which cards are going to kind of win that meta, so we could see who... which three cards we think are the best. And then we'll end things with viewer Q&A. You guys can tweet your questions to either myself at ChamMV or also the show Valuetown GG, and we'll take all those questions at the end. All right, so let's kick things off with the patch. So one thing in the patch, of course, one of the big things is the welcome bundle that they announced earlier this week, or almost a week ago, where they're giving us a free legend for $5. They're giving us a legend as well as 10 packs from the classic set. So you guys end up purchasing yet? It's like a crazy good deal, so I was wondering if you guys have purchased it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I just want to get my collection golden at some point, so I guess if I can get all that dust for $5, yeah, I mean, it's probably worth it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, sounds.
I think definitely for the dust, it's worth it. Ray, you get it yet?
No, I'm trying to avoid logging in as long as possible.
What?
Oh, man. All right.
Okay. All right.
Real talk.
Yeah, man. Okay, Firebat, how about you?
Yeah, I haven't got it yet. Probably get it and then just save the dust for whenever the next expansion comes out so I can craft what I need without having to spend more money, you know, good value to play.
So right now, just doesn't want to log on. That's it. You're done. Or you have stuff to do. And you can't just.
I don't know, man. I got to grind to legend quick. I have like a rank left to go, and then I can just. Okay. I'm just gonna start streaming like nothing but wild, I think.
Just to see if that's
better. Yeah. The thought process is like, since Blizzard's like ignoring it, it should be a better format. Hopefully.
Wow.
I actually made that exact argument on stream, and like in one of the videos recently, I was like, you know what? I'm pretty sure Wild is better to play because Blizzard is not paying attention to it.
God, you guys.
To be fair, they do pay attention to Standard. It's not like they ever make changes there either, though. So maybe it doesn't matter. It's like the same thing. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, speaking of some changes, they did make some changes to Arena, which they also announced shortly after the show. So it's been roughly a week, but it did roll out today in the patch. And what they ended up doing was removing a lot of cards from the card pool for Arena. So these cards that are listed here will, you know, basically not be pickable in Arena. And it's their way of just improving some of the classes. They also mentioned down below that they may be tweaking frequencies of cards, you know, like give certain class cards just to help balance in that standpoint too. What do you guys think of this, or at least this approach to balancing Arena? Anybody?
Yeah, I mean, I personally just think it's pretty inelegant as a solution, but it's pretty obvious from what they said that it's going to be like a temporary fix to an issue. But it just kind of goes to show that I feel like they hadn't put enough thought into, like, I keep thinking about all the time they spend on expansions, they're so far ahead of time in development. And I get the feeling they're just not future-proofing as they go along whenever they make content. And Arena is kind of one of those formats where it just wasn't thought through enough for what they ended up doing with the game. So I'm not exactly sure where the design team fails, just in general, or whoever's in charge of making those rarity decisions, whatever the case may be. But something's not happening. It's just kind of weird. I'm hoping the next drafting format, if there's a change to the way Arena works, is just better.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the removal of cards, I mean, this is the biggest change they've ever made to Arena. And I feel like outside of the C'Thun cards, this is the first time where we're actually seeing the game formats, I guess outside of Standard and Wild too, but we're seeing them start to fork, you know, at least from the standpoint of Arena. And do you think they're going to revert this back once, I don't know, 2017 comes around and come up with some elegant solution? Or do you think this is just the beginning of just like a completely different card pool for Arena?
I don't know about card pool, just a different format would be good. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to make a video about this, but it's like the main problem with Arena now is you're always drafting the same deck regardless of what class you're playing, which is just emphasis on curve and stuff like that. It's impossible to draft for synergy. You don't have like the whole self-correcting environment that other limited formats do when you're drafting with like eight other people. If certain classes are too good, like Mage, there'd be, you know, like five people trying to draft it. So like all of a sudden the priest would be winning because he'd be the only priest player at the table. So you can't like, there's like all these natural things about Arena just because like the way you draft that make it tough to be like the best limited format. But this is a good like Band-Aid fix for now. And I'm just glad they did something. I think it's good for the game, at least short term. Hopefully they do something bigger down the line, but I mean, it's also not perfect, right? They should have probably kept Windspeaker and gotten rid of like Wind Fury.
Yeah,
that's true. How about you, Firebat?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I'm happy they're doing anything. Like, it is such a struggle to get Blizzard to change things at all. The fact that they've actually, you know, taken initiative and done something is fantastic. Couldn't be happier about it, you know, like, it's a huge step in the right direction. Hopefully this gets positive feedback, and then that positive feedback snowballs into them making more changes, which gets more positive feedback, and we can start fixing the game and actually doing things, responding with the community, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So I'm really happy. I don't understand one thing about the Arena changes is there's so many people complaining about Standard, and there's always like, you know, one guy on Reddit complaining about Arena in comparison. How come Arena is the only format, you know, we get responses about? Like, most of the time, I've read these like responses from Ben Brode or these responses from other like developers on, you know, Reddit, and they've always like addressed to the big Arena problem. And how is that problem bigger than the Constructed problem? Like, why is there like never, you know, this is a response to your complaints about Constructed things? It's always, this is your response. Here's our response to your complaints about Arena. And it's like, right. I feel like a lot more people play Standard than they do Arena. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, there's no question there's more.
It's just like a hidden, huge player base for Arena that I'm not seeing, and that's why this is the main priority. But I don't get how like Standard isn't a bigger priority.
And you're right about that, but like the things people are complaining about for Standard are because of like philosophical differences in Blizzard's design. Yeah. So it's kind of like more subjective, whereas with Arena, they were just like blatantly wrong about rarities and things like that. You can't like not address it because it was inexcusable, you know. Whereas Standard, most of the issues stem from like, hey Blizzard, we think your philosophy sucks in these cases, change it, and then they respond with not responding at all.
It's the same as saying fuck you or remulling over it over, you know, a glass of wine and probably not really go back. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's just like the time span between like even discussions of changes is just way too long. And it's really just this time problem that just gets to me, because I feel like even though they might be taking all the feedback into consideration, looking at their metrics, looking at their data, like I can't understand why it can't be just a little bit, you know, speedier, I guess, when it comes to at least divulging information about changes that are in the works.
It just might be one of those things where they don't like to say anything until they know for sure it's coming out, at least in a reasonable amount of time. It could be just simply that. And I think there's a lot of internal things when it comes to process that needs to be worked out and changed on their end before they can even get to the point where they can, you know, really start telling us what's in the pipeline, and at least in a, from a reasonable standpoint. Like if they tell us something like 6 months from now, they might even, what they're doing or planning to release 6 months from now, it might not even be relevant to just our issues like right at this moment. So I bet it's something to do with that. With Arena and this change, I'm glad they're doing this. I still can't believe they haven't changed rarity on some of the cards, though. But this is a pretty big thing. And I think this is maybe sets up for some more changes in the future. This is kind of like resetting some baseline stats for them to see what the, how the class distribution is, making some of the classes better by removing stuff. But we'll have to see if they, you know, how that ends up. Is Mage still going to be crazy after all this? And if it is, then we're going to have to see more changes, right? So, but quite a few cards removed here. That's definitely good. One of the things they could have done too, guys, is like just make bad cards better, right? I mean, that would just require a lot of cards to be changed. So this one seems to be a little bit more manageable in terms of design, or at least, you know, like them making an efficient decision. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a good fix. I think it's better than making bad cards better, because, I mean, you still need some amount of bad cards. Like, otherwise, you're going to have like an overpopulation of mediocre cards. Then the draft gets a little weird in that sense. So there needs to be some, you know, bad cards. There needs to be some okay cards. There needs to be some good cards. It's just the distribution of those over the classes
was
one of the big problems. And another big problem with Arena that a lot of people have been talking about is, as the card pool for Arena just continues to expand, it's starting to become better to play around nothing than it is to play around things.
Right.
Like, you just don't know what to play around anymore, because they just have so many options available to them. And that causes a problem. If the metagame's unpredictable, then you can't counter the metagame. Then it feels like your decisions matter less, and so forth. Then it feels like you're just going to, you know, whatever the website is that tells you the arena tier list. Yeah, the Hearth Arena tier list. Draft the best tier every single time, because that's all that matters, because there's such a wide range of things at the best tier slots that it's impossible to predict the metagame and make adjustments to counter that metagame that would exist. So, like, in a perfect world in Arena balance, I would say it would be really entertaining for me and maybe some other people if the person that goes to the Hearth Arena list, picks all the best cards in the tier list, just loses pretty consistently to the guy that is going to be countering that by, like, knowing, well, that's the best on the tier list, but because that's the best on the tier list, I can make this deck archetype work with these cards and sort of things like that.
Right.
Yeah, like, I mean, if there were more ways to draft, basically, because, like, going back to the way that, you know, it's done in other games, it's usually players control what other players get to play, right? So one of the ways you can build is, like, I'd love if Arena was more of a, well, not a sealed necessarily, but something like that, where you just get to pick a bunch of cards and you select, a certain amount of them. So, like, you could actually try to draft, I'm going to go crazy, but, like, Murloc, because you'll be happy to just pick some, you know, half-assed 3-mana 3/3 that buffs your other Murlocs, and then as the draft goes on, they're not forced to be in your deck. So later on, like, if it turns out you don't have enough Murlocs to make the deck work, then you just give up on the idea. But if there are, then suddenly maybe you've got something there to synergize with. And that's something that the arena just doesn't let you do. Like, there's no going back to your decisions. You
that's
can't.
Right.
The hindsight is irrelevant. Like, your deck is over. As soon as you pick a card, it's there forever, which makes the whole process very linear and boring.
But if they made it more complicated, I don't understand how new players could really be able to connect with it emotionally and figure it out.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
I think they can handle it. No, I agree with you, Noxious. I think that's much better. And we saw it in the Red Bull Temple Storm sealed event back in March, right? And it was great. It was fun watching you guys, you know, kind of watch the draft and then get a chance to, you know, at the event itself, talk about, okay, well, Paladin looks kind of good. Oh, wait, now we're getting all these other cards now that, you know, like, another class looks good. That's definitely a big issue with Arena right now, just not even being able to commit to any synergy with the cards, because you don't know if you're going to get the rest of them, right? So, really plays for a boring type of, or forces you to play kind of a boring type of draft. Okay, well, also with the patch comes a new hero, which is our first Priest hero, Taronda Whisperwind.
Noxious, that's right.
Noxious,
that's the name.
Your thoughts on the new hero?
Nobody cares. Like, literally, one cares. I'm pretty sure
nobody
no one cares.
Cares. What?
No. Listen. Wait. No one really cares about the fact that, you know, it's a night elf. Besides,
oh,
probably
it's
me.
A night elf. Okay.
So
sure.
Wait. Like, my big problem isn't. It's not even a problem. It's just one of those disappointments where, like, they've got this crazy world of Warcraft with a lot of diversity and, you know, presentation of characters and races. And, like, all we've got are orcs, humans, night elves, Illyria, like Valyra, they're high elves or some shit. I don't know. They're elves, whatever. Elves and humans and orcs. And then you've got, like, the one Magni Bronzebeard, right?
It's a dwarf, and we got a Murloc, and...
Yeah, I mean, the Murloc was one of the cool ideas. The thing is, I don't get why all the other playable races, like, how are undead not a thing?
Undead's not sexy, man. That's why it's not undead. It's night elf.
Murloc's not sexy. I guess Murloc is funny, so...
Murloc fits in a meme. There's no meme for undead. There's no sex appeal with undead. You gotta either fit a meme or have sex appeal to make it in the game. That's how Hearthstone works, right?
Okay. Is that how young?
That's life, man. Really? I mean, you got sex appeal. What? That's it, it's your two options. Pick a road.
So, Confessor Peltris or Yogg-Saron, right?
It's one of there. The you other. Go.
I see. I see how it is.
Oh man. Well, it's another card back that you can only get from some special promotion, and that's really nice for a lot of people, especially a lot of people that play other Blizzard products like WoW and Heroes of the Storm. But I'm not one of those people, actually. I mean, I used to play WoW, you know, way back when, but Heroes of the Storm, I don't play much. And I would like to be able to buy these skins, at least at some point. You know, I hope they could, I think I mentioned it before, but I hope they start considering that, because hardcore Hearthstone people, I think, should have the ability to get every skin available in this game. Not to mention, they'll just make money off of me, right? So hopefully they don't keep it so that it's just like you have to play WoW for, I don't know, X number of levels, because I still don't have those, you know? It's like...
You haven't done them? Okay, dude. Yeah, you need to hop on. I'll help you do it at some point. You know, after the show,
you can play for me?
We'll just do the shit real quick. You'll get your skins or whatever, and then you can move on with the next time you have to log on when they give you another skin that you have to do.
All right,
I'll be there as well.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that.
But I agree with you. I think you've got a good point there. Cross promotion is good, but yeah. What do you think of that thing? Like Firebat, have you even gone through WoW to get the skins, or just not at all?
No.
I
played WoW for like an hour, walked around a lot, did quests or whatever, and then I was like, yeah, it's kind of boring, and then stopped playing, and that's. It's my entire experience with the game. I don't know anything about the, you know, Hearthstone lore or WoW lore or anything about the game at all. I just know there's a lot of walking involved in the game.
Firebat's a perfect example too, right? Like, you don't want to play those other games. You just want to play Hearthstone. So it'd be nice if it was available to you. Ray, I mean, you're somebody that definitely, from a completeness standpoint, you know, with golden cards and everything, I know you're a big person on that. Do you have all the skins right now?
I don't have the WoW one. Is that the only? I think I have the other ones.
You have the iPhone one and everything too.
Like Khadgar?
Yeah, Khadgar.
Yeah, I have him.
Okay.
I got most of them. Some of this, like the card backs, I don't have because I'm like lazy. I don't like doing the heroics.
Oh man!
Not that I don't like it. I just never like feel in the mood to do it.
Yeah. Well, some of the card backs you just. Unless you go to literally every single event, you can't have them all, right?
You got to go to China for one.
The Chinese ones, that's like the one, that's the only annoying one, though. It's the only one.
The gold series one?
Mm. Yeah, but what's like another one that's actually hard to get, you know? Like, there's nothing really.
Well, the discontinued ones, if you haven't gone around, for instance.
The BlizzCon one. You don't get the BlizzCon one with the virtual pass, right? Like, I think you had
to. Yeah, you do.
Do you? If you get it.
You get it with the virtual pass.
That's $40 for a card pack.
And then there's one if you have to like attend a preliminaries event to get one.
Oh,
and then you need to get it's like bluish. I don't know. But
The power core, you mean?
I think that's...
I don't know. Like, they gave them out to all of the people that got to championships in winter.
I think this is isn't it the same one as the China one? They just exported it to NA? I thought they did that for NA EU.
Maybe it is.
The exact same back.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes...
The golden one? You got the golden celebration for the prelims?
I think you do. I thought that's what they did, but maybe I'm wrong. I might just be flat out wrong.
Let me look at people's Twitter, because people were tweeting it out, but I got to go back a few.
This is actually like a big deal. That's like if they're actually giving out the golden card back for that, I might actually like...
Yeah, they do. Now rewarding golden celebration to card backs for people who make it to HCT championship. Yeah, golden celebrations go into like anybody who makes it the prelims, I think.
Shit.
Makes it to, yeah, they actually extended it to NA and EU, I think.
Should have been playing those.
That's motivation. That's like motivation to qualify for AGT, guys. Right there. Card backs.
Yeah. Completion of card backs.
Yeah.
Yeah. They extended it because a lot of people were complaining that it was like restricted. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Parba, are you still looking for something? Or
No.
Okay, just making sure. Let's see. Anything else in the patch that's interesting? I think that's it, really. Anyways, yeah, I think that's it. Again, the bundles. I think that I didn't get a chance to mention, but I think the bundles, the sale is a good idea. I wish we had more of them. You know, like we have some seasonal sales, like during Christmas. Wait, actually, we don't have one during Christmas, which is weird, but... You know, they've definitely done some sales before, but never like to this extent. And I maybe given the timing and given just like a lot of people, you know, just being upset about other things, you know, it seems to be a good timing for it. But generally speaking, I think it would just be a really, really great idea. And I mean, my son got a Jiraxxus for the first time and he was like super excited about that. So he's definitely still got a lot of holes in his classic set. I got Cenarius, no big deal for me. It's just dust. but overall, it's definitely good. All right, why don't we start talking about some Batstone here? So this is the event that just happened yesterday. This is kind of why Valleytown is on Thursday instead of Wednesday. But Firebat hosted and casted, planned, organized everything, this an event with 8 players and with 13 cards banned from the current pool. Some voted from the community, some chosen by the players. And it was a one-day event, just single elim. Just wanted to talk about the event and how it went, given that the community responded really, really well, especially on Reddit. Firebat, yeah, just, I guess, thoughts. Just start us off on how it went.
It went better than I, you know, was hoping it would go, you know. The games were actually, you know, really cool, which was a big up, because, you know, you do this, you ban some cards. You ban the RNG cards, you know, that's going to, you know, improve the game because there's not going to be RNG deciding, like no Yogs deciding anything is just fantastic right there.
Yeah.
But then when we started getting into the other bans and people started banning some core cards, you know, eventually at the end of it, I was looking at the list and I was like, there could be just like everyone playing Zoo still or some weird sort of things like that. But it ended up being like a Murloc Paladin meta, which was really cool to see. It caused a lot of wacky control decks and crazy things like that. So I was really happy with how it went. I think a lot of the players being good sports and, you know, playing towards trying to make the game more interesting for this tournament really helped out. Like a lot of play, like Super JJ was the only player that brought aggressive decks. Everyone else was playing like crazy control on control, weird shenanigans. So, you know, all the players kind of were having fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm showing just all the cards that were banned. And yeah, a lot of these cards were... so was this something you came up with after you saw the feedback from the community bans? Or was this something had planned already as a twist?
This was planned to try and hype up the event. So like I did the community bans, and then before that was even done voting, I already had all the players I wanted to invite, and I already had all of their bans ready. So
nice.
And I was like, all right, so we're gonna get the Reddit thread about the announcement. Everyone's gonna be hyped about the announcement of the tournament. They're all gonna do the voting. That's gonna be like front page, and then people are gonna realize, wait, this isn't gonna change enough, and start complaining about it. And that'll be more free advertisement. And then as soon as they're done complaining about it, and that stops becoming free advertisement, then we hit them with the twist, nice. And then that's more free advertisement there because that's gonna be a number one Reddit thread again. So you know, I really milked the advertising on it a lot.
Marketing genius here, dude.
You know, the player intros were all like funny meme gifs, and I played off the
those were good, man.
Yep. And all the other stuff. So
yeah,
I tried to find memes associated with the players and then make those into gifs and announce them all that way. So I think honestly that was probably what contributed to the viewership the most, was just advertising the shit out of it. That was probably a lot more beneficial than the format being, you know, wacky or cool. It was just, you know, I invited popular people and advertised popular people. And that's the recipe to having people watch your stuff. But overall, I thought the format was really fun and entertaining for me to watch and for me to cast. So a lot of the viewers gave positive feedback and said so as well. Mm-hmm. And the players also said it was really fun to prepare for and really fun to play in.
Yeah. And just want to mention there, folks that might not have seen it too, you know, this this was an event where there was no prize pool. You know, all these people were just playing because they want to participate in something, at least an event that's trying something new, you know, with the community. And that's, you know, that's really awesome. And of course, you know, you organizing this, you know, you're not getting any cash from this, but I don't know, all you're getting is views basically, I guess, on your channel, which I guess can be can be looked at upon as you getting something. But for the most part, you spending all those hours like planning this and the production of it too is really mostly for the community. So that's definitely awesome. Did you start planning this a week ago, or was it before that?
There are people talking to me about like formats in Hearthstone and saying that, like, I was talking on stream one time and I was like, maybe I should run a tournament with card bans. And they were like, Blizzard's not going to let you do that. And I was like, fuck it, let's do it.
Watch me go.
Yeah, that was mainly what started it. It was like, it irritated me that a lot of people and a lot of tournament organizers included were afraid to make tournaments with bans in them because they're like, Blizzard's going to shut down our tournament because they're like, they're using your case as an example where Blizzard said you couldn't use card bans. So I was like, well, I'm going to try and just kind of change their mind about that so that now tournament organizers aren't going to be afraid to introduce card bans in their formats. Maybe we can, you know, inspire some new sort of formats, inspire Blizzard to maybe think about making changes, show them that people don't actually like the RNG of Yogg-Saron and Tusker Totemic with the popular vote. So I was just trying to highlight those key points and then at the same time, you know, make a fun event. And I think actually having no prize pool was beneficial to the event because a lot of people played actually interesting decks. Like, I feel like if I would have had a prize pool, there would have been a lot more shamans in the tournament. I think that's...
What, you mean shamans, like, without Doomhammer and Tuskar are still good?
Yeah, yeah. Shaman for sure was the best deck in the tournament.
For sure, no question.
Yeah. Not a lot of people brought it because a lot of people were bringing, you know, like crazy Dragon Locks and Murloc Paladin and OTK Priests and all this sort of off-the-wall stuff. OTK, so I think it was like not having a prize pool actually helped because people were just kind of more so the players just having fun with it. And I think the viewers responded quite positively to the players having fun, just trying to have a good time instead of... Whenever I watch a Hearthstone tournament now, everyone's playing like Shaman Mirrors and they're all just like depressed and intense the whole time and just stressed out. And so, yeah, it's kind of a nice change of pace. I don't think like every tournament should be a banned tournament. I don't think that would work out very well at all. I don't think every tournament should have no prize pool and be just for fun. So I think it's just a good change of pace and having variety to the scene is helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that has been missing, just more fun, like challenge stones. You know, we haven't had challenge stones in a while, and, you know, we were talking last week that, you know, even Ray, like, you know, Tempestorm, we haven't seen a Tempestorm event in a while, which have always been one of the innovative ones.
We've been, I don't think there's really an excuse for it outside of, like, me being lazy. I mean, there have been barriers, like, just certain people, like, behind the scenes that need to be doing stuff just kind of, I guess, got out of the scene. So finding a replacement has been some amount of work, but yeah, it is on me at the end of the day. Like, I should have been putting more energy into it, I think, but it also, the events we do aren't like, I'm not looking to do like one production guy, like quick and easy six hour event. We used to do those a lot. Maybe we should have run events like that anyway, instead of just being patient and waiting for the big stuff to get finished. But yeah, our next event is 3 weeks from now. Hasn't been announced yet, but it'll be like right after TwitchCon, middle of the week. It'll be pretty cool.
Okay.
So yeah,
is it going to be like a land type of? Or you can't? Well, I'll just wait.
Yeah, it'll be a land.
I figured it is. Like, if it takes a long time to organize it, you know, generally that means it's going to be a live land type of setup. Cool. That's going to be awesome, man. Good timing, at least, right after BlizzCon. Is there any anything Hearthstone related? Not BlizzCon, TwitchCon, right? Is there anything
maybe
related to TwitchCon?
Last year there wasn't, except for I casted the Mike Morheim and Emmett Shear show match.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Morheim got ahead. I think he played Warlock or something. I forget what it was.
Mike better win. Holy crap. Okay, well, that looked
forward
to
it. Did he win, I thought? Sure.
Did Emmett win?
I don't remember.
Oh, I forget. Gosh. Maybe something.
I think Emmett won.
Oh, man.
Emmett plays a lot, though.
Oh, does he? Oh, okay, that makes sense then. But yeah, so I think Bastion was great. Like, I think, like you said too, Firebat, a lot of people are pointing at the format being like the reason. But, you know, if you look at the format, if you look really close to that format, you just really banned cards. You know what I mean? You just basically banned or just reduced the card pool by a little bit, which is pretty similar to just a new adventure coming out, you know, just new cards coming out and just having a different meta. The format itself was pretty similar. So,
I mean, it's best of five conquests. So the actual format was exactly the same. It's just the banning some cards to try and, you know, shake up the meta a little bit. And I think it's pretty cool giving players a strategic ban. I just don't think it's going to cause, a stable meta for like a long time, unless you run like 10 tournaments in it, right? Because people aren't really going to figure out what's going on. So it's a lot of people playing, you know, not the most optimal decks against each other. And because no one can really figure out the most optimal version that fast of a deck. They had like, you know, a week to prepare while knowing the card bans, and that's it.
Right.
So, and no prize money's on the line. So who's really preparing super hard in that sort of meta? So it's like, if there's, you're going to do that sort of format, you're going to need like a big prize pool and a lot of time for players to actually, you know, figure out the meta and have incentive to do so, to figure out the meta for it to actually work competitively. So I think it was more for kind of just like a just for fun tournament rather than like something that would be super competitive for now. But I think it worked out as a good like test of concept for banning cards can still be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Proof of concept, I think it was great. And, you know, we actually did some interesting decisions being made, you know, that we probably wouldn't see right currently in today's meta with some of the decks that we're seeing. And that's something we had before, you know, like before a lot of these cards that don't necessarily require, or the power level is just so high that they can swing games so much. So it was refreshing to see it. It was almost like watching Hearthstone from a year and a half ago, you know, type of thing versus Hearthstone right now. So I think that was really good. The biggest thing, or what I was trying to get at, is just that I think the viewership got up to like what, 45? Did it get up to did it pass 50 at any point? Or
I haven't seen 50, but like 45k, like, I think.
Yeah,
got like okay. Yeah, 46k was the peak, and then it was also on the French channel, and then another French channel.
Okay, cool.
And then it was on a Korean channel, and then
okay, I didn't
one other
that.
One other channel, and those combined got about like 10k. So okay,
so like 55.
Yeah, not like spectacular numbers, but like, you know, for a Wednesday.
For an online Wednesday one?
Online Wednesday Cup is all right.
That's pretty
yeah.
good. Yeah, and I think it had a lot to do with, again, it just being invitational. It being, you know, players
I think
that everybody
a lot of the names need to get more towards that. Like, the whole dream of we'll run open qualifiers every time and someone will consistently make it through and they'll build their name by just pure skill.
Yeah.
Like, it's not happening. We've tried it for a year now, right? Then there's been almost zero players that have been there's been zero players that have been consistent the entire year. There's been like few players that have been consistent for like a few months at a time that have been, you know, if you count their entire tournament performance over the year, you can call those few months like an outlier in their performance, basically. Mm-hmm. So there's been no player that's been able to do the whole, if we just have all opens, players will be able to consistently do well, and then they'll build a following behind them and become famous. That's why we should get rid of all these invites and blah, blah, blah. It's just, there's no storylines created around these players to make it through opens because no one can do it consistently enough. And if that's the case, then I feel like you have to kind of do invites. Otherwise, no one's really going to want to watch it. And you belittle the accomplishments of the people making it through the open qualifiers, so they pick up fame even slower, because once they get through the open qualifiers and they get to this tournament that has reduced viewers because there's no invites, even if they win it, people are going to be like, oh, well, it was just nobody A versus nobody B.
Right.
Nobody cares. So
it's just always like this, though. Like, we needed to push, I think, for that direction like a long time ago, back when the only things that were run were, well, here's this, you know, click of like 10 dudes and they're playing Hearthstone all the time. And that's all we have. And then once it started to become more widespread and, you know, Reynard, I know, was a huge advocate for those larger events where you had just a lot of people coming in. The thing is, that's become like kind of the gold standard. Sorry, correct me if I'm wrong.
You need a few people coming in. Like, I don't think you want to go back to the old system. The old system was just like 8 invites, that's it, no open qualifier, right? But there was like Seed Story Esports Cup, which had 31 invites and one qualifier one year. You know, just like, that is bad.
That's just not true. Like, people keep talking about that. Like, that was the history of Hearthstone. Like,
in like 2013, it was.
Yeah, 2013. Who the fuck played Hearthstone in 2013?
I played Hearthstone in 2013.
Yeah. Played Hearthstone in 2013.
That's kind of what
I couldn't get into the game in 2013.
The game had like 1/10 the accounts of like what it has, like less than that. It had like 1/100 the accounts.
Yeah,
that it has
sure, now. Sure. That's
but that's the reference like, everybody uses. Game. They go back to
it
that.
Wasn't even released. How do you have an open tournament when, like, the average person can't even get the key? Like, when the keys were selling for $400,
I don't think they should have had an open
that
tournament.
There were invites.
Like, I just say, I'm just trying to say that I don't think all invites is good. I don't
right.
think it's
no, great. I agree with you on that. But I also think, like, people keep talking about their people keep mentioning, like, there was this era where there was, like, all invite tournaments. That's just, like, never the case. Like, starting from the very first LAN in Hearthstone ever, it was open. Like actual LAN, you know, once the game's like released, right? It's like DreamHack Bucharest,
yeah.
And then there was DreamHack Summer, which was like 25% qualifiers. Mm-hmm. They had like hundreds of people go through those on LAN. Yeah, it's just like we've always had qualifiers, always.
I think that system's like the best, where you have like 75% invited, 25% qualifier, or 50%, 50%, some sort of mix like that, I think is going to be the best for developing storylines. Because then when the guy actually wins, that's an open qualifier, people actually care. Like, it's actually an interesting, it's a storyline. It's the underdog defeating all the, you know, invited players and making it through. And then he builds fame a lot faster than someone that would just win the open qualifier, then play against other guys from the open qualifier that no one knows who any of these people are. And now who wants to follow these guys at the end of the day? You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's not as interesting and it's not as fun to watch.
I mean, I think the answer to that question right now is that we shouldn't have like the standard of tournaments be necessarily anything specifically. Like, I don't even think it necessarily should be like qualifier heavy or even just this hybrid to every tournament, because I even have streamers and players that are notable even tell me that, like, hey, it's like, it'd be awesome if you started Deck Wars again, because, you know, they don't even get a chance to go to these events anymore, you know, some of these events anymore. And they like being in this kind of competitive environment and, you know, playing in that kind of a scenario too, or that environment too. So it's not even just the no-name players. It's actually the people on the opposite side of the spectrums too, that would, you know, want to see some, I guess, more of the invitational aspect or invitational events being brought back to the community mm-hmm. too. So we should just do some of both, you know, right now. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at.
I think it would be good. I think it'll create like you know, nothing will get stale then, right? Because you're just, as soon as they get bored of this way, the tournament scene starts doing it the other way. And that'll help keep things fresh and kind of make more people happy. But invites are really needed, especially for the North American scene though, because for like me, if I want to go to a tournament, most of the time it's going to be in Europe, and it's going to be the standard format right now is like 128 man or 256 man all open tournaments. My odds of making my money back on my flight to Europe to go participate in this tournament is very, very slim to none. So it's just like not worth it for any of the North American players to really go to these tournaments. And in North America, all we have to compete in is like there's DreamHack Austin, and then there's a few DreamHacks in Canada. But like other than that, all the rest of the tournaments happen in Europe. So we can't really attend any of them that aren't invitationals, because our odds of making money are too low, and our odds of even getting exposure, like getting camera time in some of those, you know, 256 mans is pretty hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I agree with that for sure. So one thing I did want to just mention, I guess, or talk a little bit about, I don't have details right now, but, you know, I have mentioned like wanting to try to get back into doing some at least events or online events, mostly because I want to experiment with some different formats, the actual different competitive formats with how, you know, people bring in decks and what they can do with their decks and that sort of thing. More from the standpoint of competitive, you know, the competitive side, you know, experimenting with something that might eventually be the competitive standard versus just fun, you know, fun kind of challenge stone type of restrictions. So I'm going to start that up. I'm going to start that up in the form of more show matches, because I don't want to commit to a weekend long event or even just a full day event if I don't know the format is something that's, you know, going to be accepted and just something that people are going to like. So I'm going to probably start that soon, and it might be under the Value Talent kind of thing. Maybe we do it after the show, from week to week, and, you know, get two people. Obviously, a lot of folks know, you know, whether streamers or players or whatnot, and have them try out a format. But so I just want to kind of let you guys know, I don't have details. I'm working on the first one already, but I do want to get feedback from like you, Firebat, and you, actually you too, Reynad. I was talking to Noxious about it earlier today, but just at least try, you know, the first pass at this, try to get some feedback before I let you guys know. So next week I'll probably nail down a date and let you guys know. But just wanted to let you guys know that I'm, you know, I want to kind of do something too along the lines of this, because it's a community-wide thing, and I think we just don't have enough people doing it anymore. And I used to do that. I used to do events, so it's not like I this is like brand new to me either. I definitely can do them. Okay, well, why don't we move on and we talk a little bit about our week of Hearthstone, and I wanted to start off with Tavern Brawl. Do you guys get a chance to check out? I mean, do you have any logged in, Riz? I don't even have to ask you, but theoretically, we could at least talk about it. So Tavern Brawl this week is very similar to one that we did, very similar to one they had before, where you just pick two cards. That is the previous one. This week, you can pick three cards, and you basically build a deck with just three cards. And it's been pretty fun. I mean, the first one was fun just with the meta. This one's pretty fun, too. So I just kind of want to see if you guys got a chance to experiment with anything. Anybody knocked?
I haven't really had like much time to try. Yeah. Like there's a lot of obvious things you can just give a shot, which is like one of the most obvious ones is like Malshazar's Imp with Soulfire, Fist of Draxxus.
Yeah, dude, that one's
cycle,
really good.
Discard. Like that's just really
that
obvious.
One's really good.
Innervate anything. You know, just honestly innervate anything. Mildruid, you told me, was a pretty popular one where people just naturalize Cold Light with innervate. I mean, kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that one's really popular right now.
Yeah. I haven't had like I would assume just people are trying out like the Mana Worm Arcane Missiles garbage. I'm sure that's the thing.
The Ice Block Fireball.
I haven't seen that yet. Actually, I haven't seen either of those yet. That's kind of
Frostbolt Ice Lance. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No? I probably played like I think 9 games of it, but I haven't seen a mage yet. Yeah.
Just people doing Mech Warper shenanigans still.
Probably.
Like, you get the Mech Warpers and then the Gorilla Bots, and then you can go infinite with it.
Infinite, exactly, right? Still haven't seen that, too. Mostly, I've seen the mill. I've seen, like, my very first one was, like, upgrade War Axe and Deckhand. But that wasn't, like, that efficient. I actually think about it now. And now that I, you know, was trying different things. But I did counter the Druid. So I was playing it so much. Like, I literally played, like, 4 straight games with the other guy was playing Mill Druid. I just put a Prince Malkazar in my deck. And that was it. I just, like, countered it. Because I had, like, 60 cards, actually, right off the bat. It was awesome. But, yeah, Ray, you're usually pretty good at this. What would you put? What would you do 3 cards?
God, I haven't even thought of it. Last time, win percentage-wise, I think Upgrade Bash was one of my favorites. But there was also it was also, like, Mech Warper. I mean, just honestly, Mech Warper plus the Sabertooth thing.
It was
I don't think it was as good as Upgrade Bash, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I would try Upgrade Bash plus some other thing, and I just don't know what that last thing would be right now. Maybe, like, are expensive cards even good? Ironforge Portal?
Probably not. Yeah, I don't think so, just because...
Heroic Strike.
There are some cards... There are some decks that just beat you in 5 turns, you know? So, you know, it's pretty hard.
Which is what Bash is for. Like, it actually really helps, which is what, like, it kind of helped against Hunter, just because they were trying to flood the board, and between Bash and the weapon, you often just starve them of cards, because they had no card draw. Like, I don't know how it runs right now, but you could definitely starve them.
Yeah. But yeah, these Tavern Brawls, I like these Tavern Brawls the best, actually, because it creates just another mini meta, you know, and it's a game in itself versus these fun interactions. There's some other ones that are obviously fun too, but this one I feel like you could actually play with your friends, or heck, you could actually make an event out of this, you know, like a mini event out of this Tavern Brawl, which you can't say that for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's definitely a cool one. Mm-hmm.
Let's see, next up, so decks. I have a few decks that I wanted to maybe discuss a little bit that we've been playing this week. So the one I've been playing is a Dragon Shaman, and there's been different variations kind of going around. This one's of a mid kind of, it's pretty straightforward, but I did throw in some elements that I thought just trying out some things, like Hammer of Twilight, of course, and that's mostly that. Otherwise, it's pretty similar to any mid-range dragon. But I feel like this is really good. I feel like Shaman, Dragon and Shaman works really, really good. And it wasn't something that I really considered before. I haven't even gone down the control route because I know some people are playing more of a control shaman, a dragon shaman too, with bookworms and stuff like that.
Sure.
But yeah, I've been enjoying this, and I think this climbs like every time I'm playing with it. I wish Doomhammer just wasn't there because Hammer of Twilight, I actually really like that card a lot.
I think it's good. It's not as bad as people make it out to be. I know a lot of people, you know, were trying out the mid-range list, you know, because Doomhammer and mid-range can feel a little bit clunky. Mm-hmm. So people were trying out Twilight in some mid-range lists. I think it just got cut. Like when Spirit Claws showed up, that just kind of disappeared, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where the weapon was toyed around with, and it wasn't as bad as it seems at first glance. The thing is, like you say, dragon shaman works, but I think one of the big things is shaman works, and if you add dragons in, then it still works. Mm-hmm. Like you're just replacing
game.
Some of the
early game right. is so strong in shaman that that's usually the hole in the dragon decks.
Yeah, so you can just kind of get carried by what shaman naturally does, and then you just change your swing cards. Well, not even your swing cards, just you change the gimmick of your deck, I guess, away from totems and more towards dragons, let's say.
Well, the nice thing is it has good removal, and it has heals mm-hmm. too, and you know, just versatile against aggro, versatile in also versatile against its control. It's just really nice in that fashion, where you can't say that with all the classes, especially with dragon, that you have the ability to do that. So it's definitely good in that way. Obviously, there's some just OP cards like Toothscar Totemic. They're just always good. And of course, Chitano Trog that you just keep in there. But yeah, overall, it's good. I didn't have Ysera in there for a while because I thought I could just get by with the Nether Spites and you know, just trying to get dragons that way. But then I realized I just didn't have enough dragons. So I was like running into some times where I just couldn't proc some of these cards, and that was becoming an issue. So I just threw in a Ysera just to be a beacon at the very least.
Yeah, you have very few of them, right? You have like five dragons total. Like, I guess you don't need Nether Spite Historian in the deck. Mm-hmm. Like, you could, I mean, it sucks to play dragon without Nether Spite because then, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
But I think there might be room for you to find other cards to fill in. Like, again, you mentioned you didn't go the bookworm route, but you know, those are two dragons. Yes, they require dragons, but they themselves are, so Nether Spite can just cycle infinitely into them, which can help. So.
Yeah,
I don't like this Tunnel Trug, and I don't like the lack of Spirit Claws in this deck. I think Tunnel Trug doesn't have enough synergies going with it. Like, it only synergizes with Bolt and Storm, right? So most of the time, and I guess Totem Bolt.
Yeah,
sure, but I mean, like, most of the time, like, I think Spirit Claws is going to get you more value. You got double Ezra Drake and you got a Blood Mage Thalnos. Like, just for the ability to control the board early on, which is super important, especially since you don't have Rock Biters and you don't have any of the like Argent Squire, Abusive Sergeant stuff that a lot of shaman decks typically run to control the board early on. So I think you might want to try and figure out, get rid of Tunnel Trogs and try Spirit Claws in there. I think it could help you out a lot. And I think two healing waves might be overkill with the amount of card draw you have in your deck. Like, you have double Ezra Drake, you got Manatide Totem, you got Tuskars for the chances of getting another Manatide Totem. I don't think you're ever going to want to draw both healing waves. Like, it's so much healing to need. Right?
It is, but there's been games where I've needed all three heals, like, just to survive. Just
which is what Spirit Claws will help you.
Yeah, well, actually, like, Claws would help with that. Out. Yeah, because I'd have two removals, basically.
I want to see a second Maelstrom Portal too. I think Spirit Claws and Maelstrom Portal are insane. They're such great cards for Shaman, and you know, you jam them in any sort of generic mid-rangey Shaman deck, which this is a pretty mid-rangey Shaman deck, mid-rangey to like control-ish sort of area.
Yeah,
those cards just get so much value at, you know, at every stage of the game, that just being able to trade efficiently and clear things. I did not think Maelstrom Portal or Spirit Claws is going to be nearly as good as they are.
Well, I'll tell you why it's good. Yeah. Because you have a hero power that gives you access. Like, I don't get, like, I actually made a video about this because I was so tilted about, the more I thought about it, the more it frustrated me. But I don't get why Wrath of Air Totem is a thing. Like, why did they have to give the class, like, a totem, one of four, by the way, that interacts with so many, like, why did they tie Spirit Claws to Wrath of Air? On top of Maelstrom Portal being tied to Wrath of Air, on top of Lightning Storm being tied to Wrath of Air. Like, did that have to be a thing? Like, I'm still not sure, man. I don't get, I spell, like, that's what boggles my mind is.
That's the direction they're taking Shaman, right? Their class identity is spell power now instead of face. They're trying to drift it away from killing people and make it Zeus Shaman, yeah.
Oh my god. I mean, honestly, maybe they will print like another spell damage minion, but as long as that totem exists, you can just jam those cards in any Shaman deck, and it probably is going to be better than a spell damage Shaman.
It is a roll.
You know what I mean?
Like, 25% chance of getting
that's it. The problem, is because the 75% you don't roll it suck, they have to overcompensate, which is what precisely what they did. Like, Shaman in the past, if you got spell damage, totem with Storm...
And you can... It's
yeah,
crazy.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's just ridiculous. But, like, that's kind of the problem is, a long time ago, Shaman was fine if you rolled spell damage on Storm and Bolt every time. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, if I have that, you know, consistently, my mid-range Shaman can get to the mid-late.
Yeah.
But the issue was getting that, because you didn't have a way to control the early board. So what they do, well, Tunnel Trog, Totem, Golem, Tuskar, all right, now you've got your early game to compensate for those 75% that blow. And now they keep stacking more spell damage synergy, and they still maintain the early game that was meant to compensate for those 75% garbage rolls. Like, I don't get how Spirit Claws came to it. I don't know. I don't understand. I just...
I mean, it's not that
my
good.
Fucking mind.
It's a good card.
No, dude.
I don't think it's blowing
just,
anybody's mind.
Well, it's actually pretty far above average as a card.
Well, I think Spirit Claws is in preparation.
All weapons are pretty much above average.
Right.
Well, I think the Spirit Claws is in preparation for the day when Trog is going to disappear. And, you know, like, yeah. We'll have that in place of whatever's early.
Well, when Trog disappears, so will Spirit Claws, though, right?
Is it the same year?
It'll be the next year, right?
Oh, I thought Trog was November.
No, Trog was way before that.
So. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It's not this year? Okay.
Yeah, I think this it goes away like a year before.
But you don't even need Trog, like, in Shaman, honestly. Like, people play it, but I don't
think it's one of the most overrated cards right now in the Shaman build, is the Total Trog. I think Argent Squire serves the same job most of the time. Yeah, pretty well.
Not necessary.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's one of the most commonly overrated Shaman cards, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think Maelstrom Portal is the most commonly underrated Shaman card.
I just don't like that everything hinges on spell damage totem. Like, I hate that mechanic so much. I don't get it. It's always been, like, the most inconsistent garbage.
Trust me, you can never roll spell power totem and still get number one legend with Shaman. No problem.
Yeah, sure. But it just makes it frustrating, because when they get it, like, the difference between both is ridiculous, between getting it and not getting it. Like, in some games, it's just a loss, unless 25%, 33% sometimes.
Well, I mean, there are different decks that, you know, it helps out. It doesn't matter what totem you get, right? Like, anything that runs things from below. You know, that's another thing I consider in this deck, too, is just things from below, but... Decide not just to use it, because I feel like it's used in every single Shaman deck right now.
Mind seeing Ysera and Hammer of Twilight gone for things from below, since you do have the Netherspade Historian to generate
so
like,
top
super
off
late
at that.
Invite dragons.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, the dragons, right. I added Ysera purely for a little bit more consistency with dragons.
I tried dragon. Like, have you tried other dragon decks? Like,
because
Netherspy Historian basically made dragon decks just in general viable, right? Like, on her own.
Oh, I played all classes now.
Dragons, it compensates
so.
For viable, disadvantage.
Like, viable in what? Like, tier 4 viable, I guess.
Yeah. No, but it's like, now your dragon deck doesn't get obliterated on turn 3. Like,
there's
you actually
like
have card draw-ish.
Dragon Warrior with Netherspite Historian that's kind of up there on the tier list, but I think every other dragon deck that runs Netherspite Historian isn't good.
It works
like,
a little...
Dragon Control Warrior I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure. That one is really good. That's a card.
Flame Tongue helps Netherspite here, at least trade it a bit. Which that's an issue I had with like Paladin, like with Netherspite, is just that it just sits there and it usually dies to anything that's on the board, and it's kind of a weird. You almost always play it late, just purely as a card draw type of thing. But here, like, I can actually play it early and feel okay with being able to trade with stuff on the board with Flame Tongue, so it was okay that way.
Sure.
Ray, what do you think of this deck? You've been pretty quiet.
Yeah. I don't like the Flame Tongue.
Okay.
If you're not playing Squire, I think you should pick like, do I want to be an aggressive deck or do I want to be a defensive deck? Since you're playing Healing Wave and all that, I think you want to lean towards defensive. So I would cut the Flame Tongues and the Hammer and the Ysera. I would play personally Bookworm, even though it's way worse of a card than Fire Elemental. You do need to pad your dragon count. And I might even cut Tushkar Totemic, if I'm being honest. What? Like, if you...
Well, if you're not coming to Things From Below, I'd agree.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. But if you want to fit Things From Below, that's the other line, right? If you fit Things From Below, then Tushkar's fine. And that's totally reasonable, too. It just depends on what you prefer.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Potential. I mean, the shaman cards are so good. It really doesn't matter.
They really are. I mean, it's like you can just throw a bunch of them together and it's going to probably get you to rank 5 at least.
I'll probably play a second Maelstrom too if you're playing Blood Mage Double Drake. Yeah. Oh, most importantly, though, Spirit Claws. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Spirit Claws, second portal. I would play that for sure.
Cool. All right. I'll definitely give that a try. So, next deck I want to talk about is actually one I saw you play on the stream like maybe a few, like 3 nights ago or 4 nights ago. You kind of had like this whole, I think I was watching you play the Mill Rogue for a while, and then I saw you playing, or vice versa, and then I saw you playing this C'Thun Rogue, Ray, like on stream. So I don't know if this is the latest version of it that you have, but I think you added Youthful like at the end, and it seemed to be a really good add too.
This is nothing like, well, you changed some cards for some reason.
Oh, did I?
I never had Loot Hoarder instead of Novice, ever.
Maybe this is like a version after I did. Do you have actually a copy of yours?
Yeah, I'm actually in the middle of playing Evermore.
Oh, okay, now. Okay. Why don't we talk about Noxious first?
Yeah.
How about your Plate Mail Warrior, and then we'll come back to that one.
All right, so the Warrior deck's basically, it looks like just a Control Warrior, but it's taken to the extreme. Of you actually don't have like the Ragnaros, you don't have the Grom, you don't have the Alexstrasza like to win against other control decks in a bursty fashion or finish off like a mid game deck.
Yeah,
the goal is really just to armor up until the end of time and control the board, like kind of the oldest possibly,
right?
The oldest school, I guess, Control Warrior, and we even play Ironforge Portal, and then we top it off with Bug Creepers and Yogg, and the goal is basically to stop all the damage from coming in, and then. If your two brawls aren't enough, then you Yogg. And maybe you win, maybe you don't. Either way, you're probably ahead in fatigue. I thought about running Prince Malchazar. I think if Prince Malchazar replaced Elise in this deck, the deck would be better in a weird way. But it's like, just because it always gets to fatigue. If I win, it's because the guy's taking fatigue damage. Like, I don't remember winning otherwise. Although, unless Yogg does something crazy. But it's like, it's the ultimate fatigue deck. Like, it's just every game is 20 minutes plus. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay.
But it had a really good score on ladder. Like I ran into a Murloc Paladin 6 times in a row. So I lost like an entire rank, but otherwise it was something like 20-4 from like rank 4 all the way to 2 and something.
Yeah, I guess Murloc Paladin is impossible to build up enough armor to withstand 2 anythings.
Yeah, I mean it can be done sometimes, but they have to mess up. Like, they'd have to literally slip up and just hoard their Aldors for no reason. Or, I mean, thinking that you have, you know, Grom or something to put down, but you don't. Mm-hmm. So, if they slip up and they just never try to tempo you, then, yeah, you can win, but it's not that common.
Not likely. Okay.
What if you get rid of the Bug Creepers and the Yogg and you just jam, you know, more removal in there, like a Gore Howl,
a
maybe?
A Gore Howl, yeah. I was thinking of a Gore Howl instead of a Bug Creeper.
A Disciple of C'Thun or something.
Disciple.
If there's some way, maybe you could play no C'Thun, but play 2 Disciples of a C'Thun and an Ancient Shield Bearer or something.
Just some removal. Yeah, okay. I could see that.
Something like that.
Even more armor.
I think you're going to want a Gore Howl, like... Sure. No one's playing Harrison right now in the meta, and Gorehowl is just disgusting with all this life.
Yeah, I guess it makes a lot of sense. I mean, Gorehowl was one of the things that Bug Creeper was swapped out for in general. Like, I just put in all the armor. That was the initial idea. And Elise, I still don't think Elise is... Like, it's not a bad card. I just don't know if for fatigue game plan, it's better than Prince. I can't even believe I'm saying those words. Well, like, I can't even believe I'm saying those words right now.
Prince is definitely going to make it harder to survive. So I would say the best game plan for fatigue is having Bran Elise. So you add 2 Double. Maps to your deck. So you essentially add another card to your deck.
Yeah.
So you're slowing down your own fatigue count, and you get the random legendaries, and you get an additional random legendary compared to your opponent's cards. So as long as you're trading, you know, reasonably well, you should be able to beat them with health and the extra card every time. You don't need to like win in fatigue by a landslide, which is what Prince Malchazar kind of does. You just need to win in fatigue by just... one health,
barely,
so a little bit, just barely winning fatigue. So I think the brand might be a little bit better than the Malchazar, because then you're going to be, you know, instead of drawing into 5 dead cards and then the Malchazar, so 6 dead cards, you're going to be only drawing into the brand and the elite cards.
Yeah. Okay. At that point, you just need to slap in Disciple and the Ancient Shield Bearers because brand is there. You might as well.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you're a C'Thun warrior.
That's true.
You just start making so Ironforge Portal goes out, C'Thun's Chosen goes in, and then you find room for Doomcaller. There we go. Call it a day.
That's true.
But it is like, it's basically Control Warrior, just very
to the max.
It's even more aggravating to play off against. It's just aggravating because I know for a fact that I've stolen games with Yogg that I don't deserve. It just makes the wins against, you know, a mid-range shaman so much more satisfying. Just like this deck was fueled by salt. Like that's what crafted it.
That's you should what have named it that way, man.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay, so I think I have. Okay, so I have Ray's Rogue now, so let's take a look at that.
Can I throw something in about the warrior?
Oh, sure. Sure. Sorry.
All day.
Yeah.
I think. Okay. See, Yogg's probably like too good of a card not to play, but I feel like it's actually really awkward with Elise because with Yogg, a lot of times you want to play all your cards that would otherwise be dead, like Blood Taker and a control matchup. With Elise, you want to save cards like Blood Taker so you get more legendaries out of it, but then with Yogg you want to like play them out so you get a bigger Yogg. So Elise and Yogg don't really work well together in general, so it's kind of weird. So I would actually probably play Prince. I think he's like fine, but up to you.
Yeah, that's a good point about the Elise Yogg. That's one of the problems I had, was I have spells and I just can't keep them because Yogg, and I end up just with this really really bad monkey. Like, it just doesn't do anything very often. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we talk about that rogue that I mentioned before? This is Raynad's most recent version that he's been playing. And, yeah, why don't you walk us through it a bit here?
I'm super, super triggered that you put Loot Hoarders in your list.
I was just trying stuff out.
I definitely did do it,
but I was just trying stuff out.
Not even 2 hours. I streamed this deck for like 8 hours.
I did play it too. Okay, it's just I was... All right. It was in a weird state, okay? I definitely played your original one too. It's very hard to play. At least the mill one. This was something in between it, so...
The last change I really made was I cut Sap for Shadow Strike because it plays like an attrition game plan in a lot of matchups.
Yeah.
So you don't really have like a board lead or Cold Bloods to take advantage of Sap with. So Shadow Strike's been better. But yeah, it's a really cool deck. Really fun to play. I lost to like Reno Shadowcaster one time on ladder like a few weeks ago, and I decided to try to build a deck like without the Reno, but kind of is more likely to go infinite with Shadowcasters. So I tried this, and this deck is super super elegant. I'm actually really happy with how it's built because you only play three C'Thun buffs in the deck, right? The two Disciples and the one Blade. But you can play C'Thun like four times in control matchups. Like you actually can't lose to fatigue decks. You just go C'Thun Shadow Step, C'Thun Shadow Step, C'Thun Brewmaster, C'Thun, yeah. You know, and you do it over and over. And beyond that, you can just like Shadow Step Blade of C'Thun in the slow matchups. You go infinite with Shadowcaster Bran a lot of times.
Dude, that's awesome.
You Shadowcaster with Bran. Yeah, I did that on stream a few times.
Yeah,
it's fun to play. Once you get infinite with Shadowcasters, you have infinite life with Farseer, infinite Disciple triggers, infinite Van Cleefs.
Just
and there's a lot of cool stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it's super fun to play. It's I don't know if it's the best version of Rogue, but it made me think about just how powerful like Shadow Step is as a card nowadays. And yeah, I think the really elegant part of this list that makes it so powerful is the like tight C'Thun package, because it's only, you know, four cards and it's so absurdly powerful. You know, you still regularly get 20 plus attack C'Thuns, but you're not playing River Crocolisk in your deck. You're just playing card draw and removal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really fun. And then there's like I've tried different builds of it, right? You can do like a dragon package in this deck where you're using like Netherspite Historians instead of Novice, and then you get all the strong dragons and it has like a better mid-range game plan. And then there's like a menagerie list I had where I'm playing like Jeweled Scarab instead of Novice, and then Curator, Corrupted Seer is just like Dark Iron Skulker. Like Corrupted Seer is a really powerful out of step effect and a lot of matchups. So.
Yeah, that's good.
There's a lot of builds. I don't know what the best one is, but I think it is competitive. So I've been liking it.
That looks really cool. I'm kind of had like it's, we had a lot of attempts at making C'Thun Rogue work a long time ago, and it seemed to always like gravitate towards N'Zoth after people tried and tried. Like they start to integrate more and more of the tools that N'Zoth wanted. Like for instance, Tomb Pillager, right? It's just a card you people just auto include in Rogue without even really looking at whether or not it fits the deck. It just kind of works its way in there, but it's not here. And I guess it's just staying consistent with the deck idea you've got.
Yeah. I mean, this was cool because it was actually having over 50% win rate over like 8 hours on stream, which like is super rare. No deck has that on stream. So.
That's true.
That was cool. But yeah, so somebody in chat asked what the infinite thing is. Basically, like you shadowcaster your brand. So you have two brands in your hand and then you just shadowcaster at some point. So you end up with a hand of like one mana brands and one mana shadowcasters. So you keep copying your brands and then shadowcaster your shadowcasters, and then you can just fill up a board indefinitely and copy any battlecry minions you have.
Yeah, like you were working in like Earthen Ring just to have the infinite heals too. That was really cool. Now, definitely some of those games were a lot of fun to watch, and I mean, you look like you're having a great time playing it, and that, you know, that was a big part of it too, because it's a real challenging deck to play.
Yeah, it's another one of those like execution based decks. It's super complicated, like Blood Warrior. It was just like, it's like too hard. If I was like a machine that could never misplay with these decks, then maybe they would have like a 75% win rate or something absurd. But the reality is they have like a 50% win rate because people are human. So I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah, Firebat, what do you think of this deck?
I think it's really cool. Yeah, I've played similar decks before, but not quite with the pandas or anything like that. I've always had, you know, Tomb Pillagers instead of the pandas and went the route where you try and coin with like a discounted brand or something and then play C'Thun with it that route to try and just get the OTK in one turn.
Yeah.
Because I'm all about OTKs usually, so I always try to make it set up for the OTK instead of setting up for, you know, the infinite or the, I guess four C'Thun plan, but I think it's really strong. Interesting. It's definitely fun to play. Like, but these sort of decks are my favorite. I've brought Mill Rogue to tournaments. I've brought weird, janky C'Thun Rogues like this to tournaments before. So yeah, I dig it, man. These are the fun decks in Hearthstone for sure.
That's totally cool. I started with Pillagers too, actually, because I was thinking like you, I could do discounted brand and then double C'Thun, and it ended up like. I don't know, I just tried the Panda of Shits and Giggles and it just ended up being insane. And then the Pillager made me run out of cards sometimes because you need like a lot of card draw. It's like Brewmaster Novice sounds like the worst thing in the world, and it is. but it also is like pretty okay in this deck to do because you don't have gadgets and you just need to draw so badly. But yeah, it's fun. Other than that, I've just been playing like Murlocs and stuff. That's been going super well on ladder.
What class? Just not Paladin, right? Or
Paladin, yeah.
Okay, just Paladin. Nothing. Okay.
Yeah, nothing exciting. Say,
if you found another, if you found another class that was Murloc, I'd be really interested to hear about.
I think Murloc aggro Paladin is a pretty good deck, but okay. Murloc, control is good too. Like, I don't know. I've found that Novice is so good right now because the difference in standard between. Between the cards that are filler and the cards that actually win you games is so high. So after playing this Rogue deck, I ended up putting Novices and Loot Hoarders in Murloc Paladin. And it's such a small change, but it just means you like always have a quality combo. And it's just like the difference between winning and losing. You know, I'm not doing as much filler like Humilities and Acolyte of Pains and stuff. Just like you always draw the cards that actually win you games. That's been cool.
Yeah. Novice. Man. It's been a long time since Novice has been good in Hearthstone, so that's refreshing to hear, man. Okay, well, I think that's all the decks. Unless you guys got any other decks you guys want to talk about in Hearthstone, so that's refreshing to hear, man. Okay, well, I think that's all the decks. Unless you guys got any other decks you guys want to talk about this week Anything else?
No, I'm all done personally. Okay. I'll have to maybe come back next week with the Prince Malchazar deck.
Oh, I've got some
that ended up working out.
I've been trying to make Fool's Bane and Illusionist. It's Illusionist, right? The 4/3.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been trying to make that work, but God, every time I do it, it's like four cards is like too much in whatever warrior I'm running, and two is just not enough to ever have it happen very often. Just that combo. So I don't know. Do you guys have any success with trying anything like out with Fool's Bane?
Such an underrated card, I think.
Yeah, I like it a lot, man.
It's super strong, yeah.
Yeah, like I've had somebody use it against me, and they took like 14 damage, and they wiped the board, but they wiped the board, and then they won. So it was like, that was the important part. It was just like the price you pay up front for it is ridiculous, but it's in a class that can, you know, sometimes afford to pay that cost. If you gave it to another class, it would probably just be meh. But warriors can usually recover from it, or at least they can set up for it.
Well, if you have illusions on the board, you don't actually get any damage.
I don't know if you need to play illusionist, but I mean, sure. It's just a good card. I think on its own, it's okay. Like, you don't need to try to go out of your way to combo, even though there's no reason not to. It's a good 3-drop.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
It might work well in your deck. The armor warrior, just jam it in and turn 5.
Yeah.
And armor afterwards. Try and run him out of cards.
Yeah.
You ever play it with Spiteful Smith?
I was thinking Spiteful Smith, but I don't.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm not sold yet.
You coin Spiteful Smith out on 5. Yeah, for some reason, it sticks. You make a trade and then play the weapon and kill everything.
Spiteful Smith and standard. Holy shit.
I had it instead of Ironforge Portal. I had two Spitefuls and I cut to 1.5. And then I never had, like without Fool's Bane, that just doesn't make any sense. It was okay, like with Gorehal in the deck, but.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we take some questions of those of you that want to write in, or just I guess be first to be asking questions. Go ahead and tweet those to me at ChamMV, and I'll read them out. If not, you can put some in the Twitch chat. Maybe Noxious, you mind looking at chat to see, or
yeah, right, sure. Now,
you guys seen if there are any questions there. There's a question about Arena here from Rigo Rhodes. In my opinion, Arena should cycle the Arena draft once a month to keep things fresh. One month a vanilla set, and then I guess 1 month a different type of set. I guess what shakeup would you like? I think we talked about some of this, but I mean, what do you guys think of that though? What do you guys think about Arena just being different sets each month? Or
I think
just
like rotating really cool. The metagame?
Yeah, rotating sets. Yeah.
Changing the metagame, keeping things fresh is cool. So I like that aspect of it. I think it'll solve the problem of there just being too many cards right now. So it makes it too hard to make it a predictable metagame to be figuring out what you need to be playing against. So I think, yeah, it'd make a more predictable metagame that people could solve, and I think it'd be keep it refreshing if it rotates at a reasonable time frame.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. So I got a question in the chat that says, would love to hear what you guys think about Cut Purse. I feel like it pulls removal and provides so much value if it isn't removed. Also, I saw a 2-drop to run along with Huckster. Yeah, I know Reyna plays a lot of those, you know, tempo/aggro rogues, or at least you did for a while.
Yeah. My list is so good. It's so good.
Like, no room.
It's actually tier 2. I think it's actually the best rogue deck in the game. I'm not even, like, joking. But it's, like, nobody plays it. I don't know why. I mean, it's so good.
I mean, like, I really think that, like, the days of Miracle
Rogue. That's why you're so offended. I changed,
I've fallen behind a little bit.
Yeah.
I played your rogue deck on stream, and while I wasn't trying in the first 5 games, I lost all of those. And then
rogue deck, right?
Yeah, then I got super focused in for my next like 9 games, and I think I went 8-1. Right? One. Yeah, right? It's
like, so hard to play. It doesn't look like one mistake, you lose.
Pretty much.
The tempo trick. Yeah. Like all of the tempo decks, like Zoo and all that stuff, are the same way. It's a lot less forgiving than Zoo, obviously, though. Yeah. But I don't know if it's better than Miracle, though. Like, I don't know. It is good. But better than, like, Tomb Pillager Gadgets in Rogue?
I think it is, because it actually has, like, you know, 40-45% against Shaman.
Okay, yeah. I guess if you're expecting the huge Shaman metagame. Rogue is so sick right now in Conquest, though. Like, Miracle Rogue, when you ban Shaman, it's actually, like, the stats for Rogue are so high. But then in tournaments, it never performs.
It's like, true.
Yeah.
It goes down terrible.
I don't know. Right? Like, better against ladder players, and that's why the stats are so high when you ban Shaman, but... Like, in tournaments, Miracle Rogue, for some reason, never performs.
I played it in my last... the last tournament I played was, like, Seed Story, and I did play Miracle. And it performed pretty well, but, yeah, it's weird, right? Because on paper, the matchups look so good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can always draw like shit with Miracle. Draw all those spells yeah. like in the beginning. You're just fucked.
Tempura Rogue's like, it's good at like farming warrior and stuff. I don't know. It depends on what you leave up.
It farms Hunter. Like it farms Hunter so hard if like people start bringing Hunter to counter warriors or whatever. Because a lot of people have been doing that lately. They've been banning Shaman and leaving Warrior up and then bringing Hunter. And that so like there's opportunities for you to just sneak in the aggro rogue there and just destroy that kind of lineup.
That makes sense.
Yeah. The tempo rogue that guys, I mean, I'm not showing it right now, but the tempo rogue he's talking about, you're talking about the super fast one, right? Like the really low curve.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. I think that's the one.
Super low curve. Might have to check that out on Raid Stream. Hey, have you been playing it recently? I definitely watched. I was hoping to have you on like a couple weeks ago and talk about it, but then we had like change of plans. So have you been playing it recently?
A little bit, once in a while. It's like very, it's like two cards off from being absurd, you know? It needs just Totem Golem, and it's insane. Because right now I'm like playing Defender of Argus or like Stranglethorn Tiger, and it's just like a little bit off, but it's so close, man. It's so close to being nuts.
Something stronger, a little bit cheaper, I guess is what you're saying.
It just needs like one more. Like if I could play four Swash Burglars, it would be nuts.
Oh man,
that'd be
that'd be crazy.
That would be good. Okay, cool. Next question here. Oh, actually, we never answered the question about Cut Purse. Like, what do you guys think of Cut Purse? That was like the original question, right? I like getting coins, man. But
itchy. And there's so many two drops to try and contest, and in the rogue decks where you can get like super high benefit out of coin, those rogue decks you kind of want to be daggering on turn two because you're running things like Gadgets and Auctioneer in your deck a lot of times. And for the tempo oriented rogues, they have better options on turn two that are just more tempo, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, what about
that makes sense?
What about not so much tempo rogues, right? Like, I mean, because you're trying to get coins, right? After all, right? And the issue with Cut Purse, like, I remember when it first came out, I was really eager to try it out because I just like getting coins, you know, just crap like that. But the thing is that it just dies. It's like a 2/2. So
yeah,
and what if it was a 1/3?
Almost everything kills it.
If it 1/3, would it make it better?
Well, I mean, you get a coin, but the issue is it's not a one drop.
Yeah,
if it were like a 1/3, for example, the only way you're getting a coin really is you coin it out, and then really, what did you accomplish?
right. Okay, that's true.
Compare it to Huckster, for example. Huckster is a 2-mana 2/2 that you get something even better than the coin. Instead of the coin, you get like an actual card that pertains value, so you don't have to have extra cycle in your deck because the card then has, you know, half a card's worth of value or even higher than that, maybe 75% worth of a card of a value, whereas a coin is strictly pure tempo. Like, you're gaining tempo for playing a worse minion sometimes. So you have to play a worse minion, then sometimes you gain tempo in return for it. So you still have to play cycle in your deck so that you can actually make up for that tempo and translate it from your hand size. Otherwise, you run out of steam. And, like, it basically, at the end of the day, is, like, the 2-mana 2/2 body that loss in tempo for playing that on turn two is not made up for the percent chance you have of actually translating that into getting the coin.
Yeah. You compare it to Huckster, it's not even, I mean, the power level difference is just ridiculous because Huckster, you're guaranteed that card. You're not, unless somebody silences it, you're going to get that card where Covers, I would say 10% of the time, maybe you get the coin. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, in another environment, like maybe, just right now, the way the decks play out, I mean, with the average power level of cards that come down this early, it's not bloody likely it lives.
I mean, nowadays, the power level, that would, if it was made today, that thing would be a 2/3 for sure.
I mean, even if it lives, you're not going face with it a lot of the times, too, because if it's living, your opponent's developing a minion into it.
Yeah.
And if they're developing a minion into it, a lot of times you're going to want to be trading, especially if you're playing the kind of rogue that needs the coins with the gadgets in and stuff, because your win condition is, you know, staying alive to get to that point where you can start cycling. So you have to trade with the body anyway, so you don't have the time to punch him in the face. No one's really doing nothing anymore in Hearthstone. There's no hand blocks going around just tapping till turn four. You know, there's none of that happening, so it just doesn't ever get off the ground.
Yeah. Gamma Gulp asks, we talked about this a little bit, but Firebat, I'm curious about what you think. Why doesn't Blizzard print cheaper board sweeps? So you can actually develop the board after or instead of super high cost sweeps now, and they just load the board, I guess, on the following turn is what he's trying to say. So cheaper board sweeps. Why don't they? Are you in favor of making cheaper board sweeps? Because I know these two guys are. Making very cheap board sweeps.
Cheaper board sweeps. Cheaper board sweeps would lead to definitely like more control-y sort of decks, right? Because the aggro is going to get stopped in its tracks way faster. You have like your elemental destruction, which can kind of emulate a cheap board sweep right now if it's always paired with Lava Shock, right? But those sort of decks, they have those crazy swing turns they try and build up to. They're super control-y decks. They're super slow. And I think it caused like a different Hearthstone, right? Like right now, Blizzard's whole mentality with it is they really wanted to push this tempo initiative, and we've seen it with a lot of their card design. It benefits the player that's ahead on board, and you can create a board state, snowball that board state, win that way, which you think is indicative to the pace of the game they want. They want Hearthstone to be like a fun game that anyone can easily understand, see what's going on, see the guys ahead on board, you keep getting ahead on board, win the game, and understand that whole tempo mechanic easily. And I think it's more friendly to new players that way. And I guess it's just determines, like, do they want to be a game where you can play a game in 5 minutes on the toilet, or do they want to make it a game that is super competitive and you got to like really try and figure out things?
There's always going to be those decks that have like 25, 30 minute games, right? Fatigue Warrior is not going to go away. And I think they're open to doing non-curve stuff because Yogs are on. Let's pretend for a moment that they thought it would be playable ever and saw it as a counter to the they didn't. But anyway. I don't know. I think cheap board sweeps would be good.
Yeah.
I think they would be good for the game. It's like the one type of card that they've really kind of not had power creep up, you know? Like the best board sweeps in the game are still really, it's still probably just Warlock, right? I mean, unless you're counting the Whirlwind, like the Ravaging Ghoul, I guess, or like Revenge, or a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's part of the reason Warriors like has, you know, 7 or 8 playable archetypes and so powerful. It's not just War Axe, it's like War Axe plus Ravaging Ghoul.
Plus
being
able
to
beat the early game of anything. And if they were to give Ravaging Ghoul level sweepers to other classes, I think that would kind of increase diversity.
I mean, it would have to slow down the game, right? So many people would be able to skip the early game phase of the game, because that's what a cheap board clear does, right? Essentially, it takes that early game phase of the game and kind of removes it. So if that happens, then a lot of players and a lot of decks might get to the point where, you know, they're just not doing anything in the early game, like how much like Control Warrior does right now, or C'Thun Warrior, where, you know, sometimes they play like a 2-3 or they develop a War Axe, but other than that, they're just armor passing. And then the game really doesn't start until turn 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one concern with early board sweeps, is that a lot of the games, you know, then what are you doing in the first 4 turns? Kind of boring for some people or whatnot. Yeah.
You get a damage advantage. I don't know. I mean, like the designers come from Magic and WoW TCG. I'm pretty sure they're used to, you know, like Wrath of God and stuff. And when Hearthstone started, you know, I bet they started with, you know, 4 or 5 mana Twisting Nether. And through testing, that ended up costing 8. Maybe it's because players felt bad when they got Wrath.
Yeah, but nowadays there's more Death Rattle. There's more tokens from Death Rattles and stuff. It's not the same as when they first designed Twisting Nether. So, I mean, Twisting Nether at 6, and that was pretty much what Light Bomb was, right?
Yeah, and it would be, but it is way better than what Light Bomb was, though, because it kills anything. So many decks, like, there's a lot of decks that don't really run any Death Rattles, and like Druid, for example, would have a really hard time refilling after, you know, committing to the board any sort of amount after a 6 mana Twisting Nether comes down. Sort of mid-range decks like that. Like, there's a few classes where it's not going to hurt that bad. Like, Shaman has no problem playing around AoE and refilling. Zoo has no problem playing around AoE and refilling. But some of these, like, slower decks, like Priest, any sort of dragon deck has a real bummer trying to reload after a big AoE. So I think it would definitely change a lot of things in Hearthstone to have cheap AoEs, because there's a lot of deck archetypes that can't deal with it. I think that's one of the big issues with it, of making them, is that you're going to be squeezing out some of these tier 4 deck archetypes that arguably don't exist right now.
Yeah.
But I think that's on Blizzard's mind, because some players in the player base like playing these tier 4 deck archetypes and having moderate success with it, at least. And they don't want to squish them out.
Let me tell you about a tier 4 deck called Priest, and it probably would actually exist if the board sweeps were better. You know, if Excavated Evil costs like one mana less.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Four. Yeah.
So like, that's kind of what I come down to. Is like, if you look at Magic, the way you build a control deck, it's like you have to be good, like early in the game against like the beatdown stuff. You have to be good against decks that don't have much on the board, so like other control decks. You have to be okay to survive against combo decks. Like an MTG, it's a lot easier to manage and, you know, hit all those angles. But that's kind of why Control Warrior's covering all those bases, right? Like, it's got cheap removal that's good against every single archetype, and it has a way to acquire card advantage through that removal with sweeps that, even though like Brawl could feel expensive, for combined with all the other tools they've got, like Revenge and Ravaging Ghoul, like they've got the package of cheap AoE, inexpensive spot removal. They're good against every single archetype, and unless like Murloc Paladin. So like, yeah, that's pretty much the idea. It's just you can pretty much cover all the bases of what a control deck's looking to hit with Warrior. I don't know if you can, like, if you give that to every class, like, I don't know how. Are you? I think Priest could use some of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it to every class.
Sure. Like, the idea is like, how can you like give a Shield Slam to a class, right? Like, Flash Shield was probably with the idea of Shield Slam with Embrace the Shadows. Admittedly, they're wrong, but the idea was probably that it's like this flexible thing that, you know, Warriors can't Shield Slam face, but you can Flash Shield face if you want. Plus, it doubles up as removal. Issue is, Embrace the Shadows, you know, is not enough to push you in that direction. So, I don't know, like, it's hard to make a good control deck in any game. It's really difficult. Like, you have to have all the right ingredients together at the same time.
Well, yeah, because you got to react to everything instead of having your own proactive game plan. So you have to be prepared for everything, and they don't care what you're doing. They're just coming at your face, the other decks. So that's why the other archetypes are so much simpler to create.
Well, they're generally consistent, too, because, I don't know, unless you had literally like 15 or 12 to 15 cards that were removal, you know, a lot of times you're just not going to draw. You know, there are going to be percentage of times you're just going to draw it, even if you have it in your deck, and that's what we see in Priest. Even when Priest had Light Bomb and all these different removal possibilities with Akanai and Nova and whatnot, we still lost. We still lost to those aggro decks because it's still all about drawing it at the right time. So yeah, I think it would be nice to see. It'd be nice to see with Priest again. And yeah, maybe it is just a 4-mana Excavated. I think that would be nice to see and nice to try out. But yeah, it'd be good for them to at least try it. All right, how about one or two more here? let's see if there's anything here. Patron Warrior earlier, okay, so by ups asked, Patron Warrior earlier had the broken combo that it could OTK anything. Do you think there are any combos like that nowadays? What is the most broken combo in your opinion at the moment? And the only combo
Worgen,
right? Yeah, Worgen is the only
Worgen's the only standard one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't count
there's wild ones maybe.
Anything doesn't really count, right? It's like a two turn type of thing.
It's only 30 damage, and it's more cards. You have to play all four Murlocs, then you have to play anything, then you got to play anything again. It's a 6-card combo that requires it requires 30 mana. 6 cards and 30 mana to kill your opponent.
It can be countered by Inquisitor too. Like, just that's it.
It's totally countered by so many things. But yeah, the Worgen's pretty crazy. I had a game in Batstone where Oskaka was playing the Worgen Warrior, and
The faceless. Yeah,
he used it like the faceless to stay alive, and, you know, was throwing away pieces of his combo, but then was still able to, without the faceless and without any Emperor procs, deal 28 damage from hand and kill his opponent. Like, because he was under too much pressure to get the Emperor down, but still able to just kill his opponent anyway. Like, it's ridiculous because his opponent was able to Strifecrow was able to pressure him enough that he did not have the time to Emperor, and still was unable to win the game while above 20 health. He was at like 25 health and had a taunt up and died to 28 damage out of hand with no Emperor procs. So like, it's disgusting.
Actually, I played some Worgen last night for the first time in a while, and it was a warrior that was like over 55 life for the entire game with, like, you know, Justicar active and stuff. And I just swung with War Axe a couple of times, did like, you know, 46 or something, ended up being 48. It felt pretty gross. I don't know. It's strong.
Yeah. Too strong, or just strong? I mean, just healthy.
Adequately strong.
Yeah. Okay. we need a combo deck. I mean, it's good to have a combo deck in the metagame, especially at events too.
I mean, it's just like this one. The problem with this one is that it reaches like without Emperor Ticks, like
that's crazy.
There's combos that do a lot of damage with Emperor Ticks that are fine. You know, like no one's ever complained about Bluebeard Warrior, faceless Rockbiter, Wind Fury. Like that's never been a problem because it requires Emperor Ticks. But like when it doesn't require Emperor Ticks, it gets kind of OP.
Yeah.
And it feels the warrior also. it's a class that already has ample amounts of decks right now. All right, one more. Okay, so this is a good one. This is so Sheepshoe asks, what do you guys think about raising heroes' health, maybe to 40?
Or nope, you can't do that.
It's too late for that.
No. Or I'll phrase it differently. What about adding cards that would up your total health pool to 40?
Sure, that's a different story. Yeah. But
if you rebalance the entire game, remake all of the cards around the health being 40, sure, but why?
It's the same reason you can't like add a 10th class. You have to rebalance every single day. You can't. It's a different game then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why there's not going to be any Death Knight. Health pool is never going to go up. It's not going to go down.
In
the original CCG, because I remember playing it when it came out, one of the coolest things about it compared to Magic was the different heroes at different health. But it wasn't like big swings, right? The lowest was like 26 health and the highest was like 33. And it was just like one of the character traits because you'd pick a hero for your deck. And that was cool. It is kind of lame that it's always 30 in Hearthstone, but it is just one more thing to simplify.
Well, I'll give you let me just play devil's advocate here. What if there was a priest card that upped the pool? It didn't necessarily like just give you 40 instantly. It just ups the ability to get 40 health. So you're still at 30, like whenever you play this card, but you have the ability to heal up to 40. I mean, right now warriors can armor up past 30, right? Essentially.
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
Yeah. Okay.
They could straight up probably give priest 40 health and.
Oh man. Okay. You get 40.
Just give Anduin 40 health, and maybe it's balanced. Who knows?
That would be interesting. Right? That's one way to balance too. It's just changing the health. That's
yeah.
Why not?
There's some things I wish they would do. You know, rather than making like Tunnel Trog and Totem Golem like obvious like early game that's going to make a class playable. Mm-hmm. I wish they instead went a route where they like they just. Like reverted the healing totem change, you know, made it heal your face again, like encourage the more like defensive shaman deck. Mm-hmm. And because back in beta, healing totem used to heal your face, and that's like such a more elegant solution to making that like shaman climb out of tier 4, I think.
Yeah,
just give it some incidental healing, and then like with priest again, make the hero power work the way that the warrior hero power does, and then mm-hmm. not having a 2-drop hurts that much less because your heal actually does something. You're not just mm-hmm. threatened emoting and healing your opponent.
Yeah. Well, that screws my next Mechatorps card because that's what I was going to do for the next Mechatorps card. But it was worth bringing up here, given that somebody asked the question. Okay, well, I think that's it for the questions, guys. So why don't we call it a day? Firebat, it's great having you on. And you want to do some shout-outs? Where can people find you?
People can find me at Firebat on Twitter, at Firebat on Twitch, at Firebat on YouTube. Just Firebat.
Firebat, yeah. Are the VODs coming out for Vatstone, or are they already out?
They should be uploading right now. I've got my video guy working on that. So they should all be done by, I think today, they should all be up. So
cool.
Yeah, if you haven't seen them, firebat.tv should have all the VODs up sometime either today or tomorrow for Vatstone.
All right, cool. Noctis, you want to do some shout-outs? Where can people find you?
Yeah, just the usual stuff. Shout-out to Complexity for the support and whatnot. And yes, that's cool that JJ got first place, but it was tryharding really badly, man. Like, he was the only dude tryharding at the event. Everybody was like, all right, we're going to play some really cool decks, trying to make this new meta. JJ was like, fuck it. Me go face, me first place.
A lot of players said they were tryharding too, though. They were like,
I know,
like
but it was
example,
a different
he practiced was tryharding. More. He was very upset that he got knocked out first round because he said he practiced more than everyone. And
really?
And was really, really mad that he didn't advance. So,
oh, man.
I mean, a lot of players. we're definitely saying they spent a lot of time practicing. Oskaka, for example, said he spent a lot of time practicing and said he was very confident with the priest and felt like he just got unlucky with his priest draws. So, you know.
That's good. Well, then, I guess even more props to JJ.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. Reyna, shout-outs?
Yeah, just tune in to the event. We haven't even announced it yet, but keep an eye out for it. It'll be right after TwitchCon. Hope you guys check it out and enjoy it. It's very different, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, got a lot of cool stuff lined up for 2017, and those announcements will start rolling out starting like November. So that's exciting, and yeah, it'll be fun, man. Thanks. Another good show, yeah, Chan Man, and then yeah, shout out to Firebat for being here, Noxious, Thumbstrom.com for all of your wonderful form-fitting needs. And we actually have New Jerseys up, so those are cool. You can check those out. And yeah, that's about it.
All right, and I'll give a big shout out to you guys, Firebat, Reyna, and Noxious for doing the show today. So it's a lot of fun. Good discussions as always. I want to give a shout out to some of our patrons and people leaving reviews on iTunes. On iTunes, Maxwell G13, Oates 1985, D-Train 5742. Thanks a lot for those reviews. And if you want to help out the show, help folks find Hearthstone by just searching for Hearthstone Podcasts on iTunes and Google, leave a review. I highly encourage it. It helps out, you know, it definitely helps out in a big way. Also our patrons, if you want to support Valuetown that way, there's a patron available at patreon.com/Valuetown. And Devin Westfall, Alu45, David Thomas, Atomic Junkie, Ninja Fada, Dustin Damar. Thanks a lot. And just want to mention some of our patrons each week. And if you missed any of the show, you can check it out on youtube.com/ChamMV about 20-30 minutes after the show. Always put all the VODs up there. And that's going to be it, guys. So also, thanks, big thanks to Tempest Storm and their sponsors over here on